Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of March, recording at 4:55 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, earlier than usual, but the Royal Opera House beckons. Trust you won't object to the earlier recording and posting. Okay. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. Stock markets mostly steady, and government bonds range trading here, but firmer in here today. And dollar came down, but I beg your pardon, the dollar went up, but is a bit weaker in here today. And metals pretty strong. That includes gold today, up over 10 as I speak. Natural gas had a good rally, but is slipping a little bit today. It's been up and down, slipping a little bit as I speak. And that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Now, what about the big picture overall? Well, I have to first introduce, I'm afraid, another short to medium term assessment. Are we going to get that technical correction that I've long talked about and that Robin Griffiths is talking about today in his report that I've posted? Are we going to see a correction of, well, bigger than anything we've seen over the last 10 years in the second and third quarters of this year? I think that's better than a 50-50 chance, but of course, nothing is guaranteed here in markets, and I can easily script, as can you, why that correction might be avoided. And let's just say lots of global liquidity around, and then we have a synchronized global economic recovery, which is generating growth, profits, and dividends, and there's a chance, there's just a chance, that central banks will pull back from their rate hikes without actually tipping markets over the edge, or let alone tipping the US and other economies over the edge. But that's the optimistic scenario, and hoping to be a realist in here as well. I'd back the historical evidence, but again, I'm not selling anything in my core investment portfolio here, but I might well open some more hedge shorts at some point, but not based on the current action that we still have. These markets are still reasonably firm overall, although, as you know, we have seen deterioration in certain areas, but not sufficiently, or not to a sufficient degree, I think, to say that this rally is over. And so it still remains in line with my best case scenario, which was that ever since the October reaction low, and saying that markets could remain firm in here, bullish, right through the end of the first quarter of this year. And we still got a little way to go. Okay, now, big themes. I really remain very, very bullish of the emerging markets relative to most developed country markets. The developed country markets that I like most for the very long term are the ones that are extremely strong in resources, and that's Canada, Australia, and South Africa. And I put New Zealand in that group as well. And I also am extremely bullish of two specialist developed country manufacturers, and that would be Japan and South Korea. But aside from that, and sure, the European markets aren't doing badly. The U.S. has lagged, and there are always interesting special situations in the U.S. market, but for the real growth, the long-term growth, the big performance, for me, it's got to be the emerging markets. And some of them are resources plays, and The ones that I like the most, though, are within the Asian region, and the one that I like absolutely most of all within that sector is India. So that's where I have the balance of my investment positions. And a number of months ago, I think I described it as, and I listed positions, and I think I described it as being about 60% weighted in favor of resources and 40% weighted in favor of Asian markets, mainly emerging markets, but also Japan included in that lot. And that my aim was to shift that ratio over to the point where it was 60% in the emerging markets plus Japan and some South Korea, which I don't own yet. And the remainder would be mainly in the resources sector. But I've only moved a bit towards that goal, and that's when I sold some Ballarat gold, which had done exceptionally well, and put that money into the Atlantis China Fortune Fund, which you saw the other day if you were able to look at comment. And as you can see, any time in the library is doing quite well. All right. People are talking about a crash. A few people, at any rate, using the crash word. I don't really see it. Not without having some sort of major environmental, ecological disaster, a bird flu to humans type of epidemic, which is really quite serious. I just don't see the problem with the crash. I don't think valuations are anywhere near high enough. But I do feel that this great surge of M&A activity that we've been seeing is a little bit of an ending signal, as you've heard me say on a number of occasions before. Okay, moving on to government bonds. My feeling here is that the long-term outlook is bearish overall. Supply considerations are a factor here. All the liquidity that's been sloshing around the system is certainly a factor. And I think that the inflationary pressures that we have seen, certainly in terms of the household bills and that central banks have been a little bit concerned about, will build up over the longer term, because I think the push for growth against the background of some deflationary pressures coming from globalization will continue to cause central banks to err on the side of inflation, and we'll see the consequences in terms of a ranging rise in long-dated government bond yields, so a bear market in bond prices overall. But most of that lies ahead. I don't think they're likely to be any really big moves short term, and if we do go into that stock market correction, that might well steady bond markets. Looking at the currency situation, I'm in the school that the dollar really is going to go right back down and test its lows near the 80 level at least. But the bulk of that downward pressure, I think, is likely to occur once central banks, or I beg your pardon, once currency traders and investors conclude that the Fed has just about completed its interest rate hikes. Currently, as you know, the interest rate differentials, at least in terms of changes in rate differentials, with the Fed still increasing rates, and with the likelihood that we'll see another 50 basis points this year, pretty well for certain. That is certainly going to continue to lend some support to the US dollar, but I'm a bear overall, and read the Capital Economics report today. It's a very, very, very good report, and that will summarize the reasons which there are certainly some of the reasons which I don't need to repeat here. One that I will add that they didn't include is the supply of dollars in circulation. I think the US government and the Fed want a weaker dollar, and I think they'll help to bring it about, are helping to bring it about, to just increase the supply. Now, in terms of the dollar-yen situation. A lot of people have been talking about huge surge in the yen and unwinding of the dollar carry. I don't think there's an immediate risk of that. I'm going to be a little careful about that because things can change quickly. But again, you've got the no-yielding yen, and that keeps it under a bit of pressure. And of course, Japan printed plenty of yen. And although monetary policy is shifting in Japan, it will shift very, very slowly. Short-term rates will rise very, very slowly there. My feeling is that we're much more likely to see a partial unwinding of the yen carry trade, not due to yen strength, although this would help to strengthen the yen a bit temporarily. But if we get that second or third quarter and third quarter correction in stock markets, and particularly if we get some sort of cascade effect in markets where we see a loss of confidence generally and a temporary flight to cash, I think that would certainly firm the yen and reduce the yen carry trade overall. But I don't think that, but I'm saying that markets will be the trigger for that, not anything that happens in the yen. In other words, the stock markets, bond markets, commodity markets will be the trigger, not the currency markets. And moving on to the metals, I remain extremely bullish here over the longer term. I think the outlook is outstanding. We have seen or are seeing a number of consolidations taking place in this sector, but that's good. Read Robin Griffith's airplane analogy. I think that was in the section that I actually posted in comment of the day today, you know, about going up too fast and the thing bursts into flames. Encountering some resistance, as far as markets are concerned, is good because it allows the consolidations to take place, prevents the overheating, makes the trend more sustainable. That's the type of environment we see for the metals, but these remain classic supply and elasticity meets rising demand situations, and that's also true of the energy sector overall. So I really do like this sector. And I have a vested interest in this second and third quarter. You might allow for that in your own assessment of market prospects, because I do have plenty of cash on the sidelines that I built up. I always retain a certain level of cash, but that I have built up over the last 3 years in futures trading activity. And I would be quite happy to deploy a bit more of that in stock markets if we do see that second and third quarter shakeout. In the meantime, that the cash doesn't feel all that uncomfortable, but I regard it as a medium-term holding, given my views on the overall buildup of inflationary pressures. Agricultural commodities, I've done less in this sector recently, but there'll be opportunities, and I should probably look a little bit more closely at the agricultural commodities. Tricky relative to some of the better trends that we've been looking at over the last 3 years, although I have had the occasional foray in that sector. I sometimes feel like Houdini if I get away with a profit. And again, trying to view global markets from the perspective of a judge at an international beauty contest, well, the stock market trends were so clear, the commodity and industrial commodity trends were so clear, that's where I've really spent most of my energies and time, and that's where I've had my major positions. And I don't think that's going to change a great deal over the next few years. Well, a shorter long-term big picture outlook, you'll probably be relieved for that. So I'll just wish you all an exceptionally good weekend.